You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, I'm Brett.
And I'm Steven.
And we are
the Broadway Husbands.
We're just your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
Members of our Patreon get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes videos, blogs, and other perks, including free apparel and so much more. To become part of our Patreon family, go to patreon.com/Broadway Husbands. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's morning here. I'm not sure when you're listening to this.
It is morning. And where are we doing this podcast episode from, Brett?
From our new office.
What?
Yeah.
It feels really like back in a podcast studio type setting, right?
Well, it kind of is. Yeah. We have, well, I mean, we don't have the luck of having Alan Seals here.
No.
Brittany. But we are trying to figure out how to set this up a little bit better. I have two microphones, but then I couldn't figure out how to get them both to work. So we're now just using the same one we've been using.
But hey, it feels more official because we are sitting at a table in a separate room or a desk, not a table. But it feels really like, ooh, like official, like we're really recording a podcast. Sometimes we've like recorded some podcasts like while laying on our bed or sitting on the floor or in various places. And this feels a little bit more like, oh, we're going to record a podcast.
We haven't recorded a podcast since we announced we were moving into a house.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? I mean, I think we did one just kind of the last one, which was about 1 year into the pandemic. But we actually closed on our house last week and moved in. And I feel like actually like that could be a really good topic for today's conversation.
Yeah,
to
let's
actually
do it.
Talk through the course of closing on our house and moving, because let me just tell you, it was so dramatic for a good 2 or 3 weeks for us.
It was a real nail biter. I would call it a nail biter. It felt like at every turn there may be something going wrong, or I don't know. It just felt very like, it felt like the floor was gonna fall out from beneath me or us the whole time.
Yeah, it really was stressful. And our parents lost their dog in the middle of it. That was really traumatic. And
well, then why don't we start there? Let's start at that day.
Well, let's just say, okay, so we knew we were going to close on our house. They kept saying at the end of March. So we told Landing, who we had our rental through, that we would be moving out at the end of March. So we had this sort of like pressure of where are we going to live, you know, on top of like, but we assumed we would be closing before the first. And so we would be able to like have time to
And also because even if it wasn't by the end of the month, it would be very early in April. So we just didn't really want to have to pay another month's rent. And
we're
really optimistic. And, you know,
because really the whole, and yeah, we got this question a lot on Instagram, people saying, well, are you going back to New York? Well, we don't know. Like, we're just keeping it, you know, one day at a time. But the reason why, you know, we really wanted to invest in that piece of property is because we could have space and it would actually be cheaper than what we were paying. And really for us, with the goal of starting a family, we got to try to save up as much money as we can. So that was really the intention behind it. And so paying another month's rent when we were going to close on a house just felt like a priority.
Well, of course, but I'm just explaining.
And I'm explaining like the money situation, like why we needed to save. So we were getting closer to the end of the month, and we were supposed to close on like the 26th or something, the Friday. And then the lender said, we're not ready to close. And we were like, oh my God. Like, well, okay. The movers had picked up our stuff out of storage.
Like the Saturday before. So it was already in transit. And I think, I'm not sure how they do it. Like if they take it and then put it in a warehouse and then it sits until they decide to deliver it. And then it comes straight off or out of the warehouse in transit to the destination. I think that's probably what they do. They probably take it, put it in a warehouse, and wait until the driver or whoever's bringing it the long distance to take it. I think that's what they do. So by this point, I think, no, actually, we had no word. So it was probably still in the warehouse, but like we weren't sure, you know what I mean? We couldn't clarify that, you know?
Yep.
So that felt fine because they were like, oh, well, we'll call you and you'll know like 2 to 3 days before it's delivered. So I felt like we were safe with the moving thing for the time being, because we hadn't heard anything yet. And it usually they give you like a 2.5 week window from the time that they pick it up. And I would assume that they would err on closer to 2.5 weeks than 1 week with a moving things from New York to Texas.
Yeah. So we didn't close on that Friday. And then my parents called us on Sunday, right? Was it that Sunday? Or was it the Sunday
before? It was the Sunday before.
So we were in the middle of like the movers picked up our stuff on Saturday. The next day, my parents called and their little dog Hallie, who we dog sat a lot since we've been here.
Yeah, I think like 3 times in the
time. She's so cute, little Yorkie poo.
Sweetest.
She got a Great Dane, came out of nowhere in the front yard, picked her up, thought she was a toy, and threw her around, and she didn't make it. And it was such a sad day. And my dad was just distraught. And it was just very traumatic.
Well, it was really traumatic. Like, we went to meet them. They were trying to, like, save her. And they took her to a vet or a dog hospital. And it was actually right by our apartment. And we went to see them. You know, Brett's dad had blood on his clothes.
In the car.
Blood in the car. And they were just obviously in traumatized shock. Yeah. In shock. And so they dropped her off for what they were hoping would be some sort of surgery.
We had all these plans to make content that day, and we just canceled everything and just drove them around to try to distract them. And
we took them
to lunch.
Yeah, we took them to lunch. A cute little country town. We brought them to the house. We're like, look at our house. Like, we're trying to just cheer them up.
Trying to keep them from being too stressed out about it. So we were very stressed. Very, very, very stressed. And then the next week, we found out we weren't going to close, and then that just added to the stress, because then we were like, okay, well, what if we don't close before the end of the month? All our stuff here, all of our stuff is on its way here. If we don't close before the truck gets here, where are we going to put our stuff? We had to start thinking about solutions. On top of that, I was trying to coach, and I'm building a course, and Steven's teaching, and
yeah, like the teaching online, and then even like, you know, I obviously go to work, and through all of this, going to work was, I mean, once I was there, it was obviously fine, but it was even more exhausting than normal because I would come home and then not be able to relax or just take those moments that you need to get through the day, because like our stuff was everywhere, you know.
In the house, we were having to do like final walkthroughs and approvals on things in the house. And anyway, it just was like super stressful. And we were getting through that weekend, since they canceled, basically we were supposed to close on Friday. They canceled on like Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And so then Friday we knew nothing. So then, you know how it is. You guys know how this is. When you get to like a Friday, God, this is like the story of our lives as performers. It's like you have a callback, or you know, you a final callback on a Friday, and then 6 o'clock hits and you haven't heard anything, and then you have to like get through the whole weekend in anticipation that you'll hear something. It's the worst.
Yeah.
And that was exactly what was happening. We're like, we don't know anything, and now it's Friday, and we're not going to hear anything until Monday.
But like on top of that, one of the email exchanges from the bank was, hey, you know, maybe you'll close next week, but nothing's written in stone. Like, that was actually like an email exchange. So we were like, well, what does that even mean? Like, we just had no idea. And we were like, does that mean it's going to take 2 more weeks? Or because all of our ducks were in a row, like, so we were super confused. And then I think, I don't remember what day of the next week, but we got word that we would close on Thursday, maybe early in the week, maybe Monday, we found out we would close Thursday. So that was a relief. But we had to move out of our landing by Wednesday at 11 a.m. Like, it was earlier in the daytime. So we, and of course, when we were moving out of there, we had way more stuff than I had possibly thought. Like, we had all of the clothes and stuff that we brought with us, and then we had accumulated quite a bit of stuff. So we packed up our car the night before and quickly realized that wasn't enough. And so we had Brett's mom come over and let us use her car. She has a big SUV, and then we piled stuff in there as well, which was extremely helpful and made it a lot simpler.
But also, just total side note, my parents also that week drove, I think out of their grief, they drove 5 hours each way to Louisiana to pick up not one but two new Yorkie poo puppies.
They're so cute.
And one is supposedly from my brother Eric, you know, who's on the spectrum and lives with my parents. But it's turning out to be like my mom and dad's dogs.
Is it? You think totally? I mean, basically. I mean, they're in control of it. Yeah.
So, you know, they're in their 70s and they're chasing these puppies around. And I'm worried for them. Anyway, so we didn't have... Okay, let's just kind of cut to the closing. So we didn't have... any solid, like, okay, we're definitely closing. It was like, okay, it's scheduled for Thursday if everything is there.
Right.
So I was like, every day, I'm not even kidding, this is how persistent I am, calling them and kind of annoying them and being like, what's happening? What do you need? How do I get the paperwork to you? What do you need? And
basically begging people to do their job. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, it's like, take our money. So we got to the closing, and the way it is, it's very different closing on a house in Texas than it is in New York, because in New York, there's a lot more people involved. It feels like, do you have a lawyer? And
maybe that's just because we had,
also, like, you don't own the land. So that title, we had to work with a title company because we're buying land.
Oh, right. I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
That's why it was so different. I was like, why is this?
It's the land title.
Well, yeah. And also we had the lawyer. And we also had a real estate agent. We didn't use a real estate agent, which probably...
in hindsight, maybe we should have.
May have been helpful.
So we got to the title company, which just felt super... It felt like, because of the way new construction works, and I have a lot of guilt around the new construction because of the way that it just, like... it's beautiful and it's so nice and new, but like what they have to do in order to build these like mega communities is just destroy habitat. And so I have a lot of guilt around it. I'm working through it. And so we go to this place and it's like this huge office building,
huge,
and
like Texas huge.
I felt like we were being like shepherded, like it didn't even feel like they were nerd, like they didn't even really know our names.
No,
but like they just were
filling
in the blanks.
Yeah, it felt like when we got there, they had probably maybe just looked at our paperwork at 9:30. We were supposed to start at 10. They didn't come out to get us till like, I was checking my clock, like 10:03 or 10:05. It was a very like Broadway show, 8:05 start. But
we were very unhappy with the way the closing went and the way the title company treated us. And they tried to throw our
lender
under the bus, the Actors Credit Union. And I kind of,
We both kind of lost it.
I kind of went off.
We did, because it was ridiculous because we were there, right? So you know how, like,
and I tend to be like pretty, we are very friendly people, and like we were being so friendly while signing all the documents, making jokes, like just playing, keeping it very lighthearted until they just didn't have everything.
They didn't have everything, and they actually would leave and check to see if, you know, they were getting back what they needed from the lender. And at one point, I think where I lost it was when they were like, well, maybe you could call your lender and see what you can do, or something along those lines. Like, basically, like, well, we can't get them to work any faster. Maybe you can. But meanwhile, the reason why is because the document wasn't ready, because they made a change like 30 minutes before we were to close. And so it was just ridiculous.
It was totally
ridiculous. You know,
unbelievable that we were sitting in their office and the guy comes in and he's like, well, your lender, we made minor adjustments this morning.
They,
and
like,
I
they said, should be able to change that so quickly.
I said, it's not a minor adjustment the morning of closing.
Yeah.
Like, this is, we are here in your office.
Yeah.
So anyway, it took a lot to get to the closing, and then...
And also, I was... So, there also was always a time crunch.
Steven had to go teach.
Yeah, I had to teach at 11:30. The closing was at 10, and we were, like, pretty, you know, at least 25 minutes from where I needed to be. So, I was like, I need to be in the car by 11, which I kind of had a feeling it wouldn't work out that way. And, of course, it didn't. I was able to, just tell work I was going to be 30 minutes late, and which... sucked, but you know, that's the way it was. And even when I did leave, whatever, there was one form that I signed that wasn't even really the final document. They were like, just sign this and we'll change it once we get it.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So when I left, it felt like the other time that we bought something, it was like, oh my God, there was also a lot of fear around the first purchase, but for other reasons, but we were like, oh my God, this is so awesome. We bought our first home, you know? And because we were so frustrated, the woman was like, congratulations, you bought a home. We were like, great, thanks. Cause she was just, felt so unofficial because they hadn't finished everything.
It was really frustrating.
It was so bizarre.
And stressful. And then we couldn't even get the keys.
Yeah.
Because we can't get the keys until the money is wired into their account. So we didn't have the keys. We did all of that and we still didn't have the keys. So we had to spend two nights. We spent the second night at my parents' house.
And then we woke up Friday morning and we both started calling and emailing probably at like 7:30 a.m. to see
what's happening.
We need our keys. Had gone through. And luckily, you know, before 10 a.m., I want to say it was before 10.
Yeah, it was 10, like 9:30.
We found out that, you know, everything had gone through and we could go get the keys. So it was a relief because
the moving truck
was supposed to come.
On Saturday.
Yeah, on Saturday. The refrigerator was supposed to come.
This was Friday.
Like, all these things were already set up.
This was on Good Friday. And the title company said that they were closed on Good Friday because of the holiday. So there was all of this stuff happening, but the movers were coming in Saturday. The title company is closed on Friday. If we don't get our keys, what are we going to do with our stuff?
Yeah, because then it's like, then you think about, well, how are we going to, then that's going to be another fee to put it somewhere, then another fee to get, oh my God, you just start thinking about.
And it's just, anyway. So we... luckily, Friday morning, we're able to get them to get us the keys. And the movers came on Saturday. And we got everything moved in. And it's not even been a week, right? It's been...
Right, because today is Thursday.
It's been... So it's not even been a few days since we've been in our new house. Yeah. And it feels...
Feels good.
Really good.
It does feel really good.
It gets a lot of light in the morning.
So much light. So, and all this to say is, like, I don't want to seem like maybe, like, we're complaining about the how hard it was. It's not that. It's just, like, there's always, like, a lot of bumps in the road, right? Like, I feel like sometimes my expectations are, like, thinking everything's just going to be so... easy breezy smooth, and smooth and go according to the plan. And it's hard to always meet the challenges, whatever big or small they may be, and kind of like take them calmly and move through them. Especially when it feels like people just aren't kind of doing what maybe they're being paid to do. I don't know. It feels very strange.
I would say do not use the company we used if you are buying a house in Texas.
But don't.
We will just reach out to us and we'll tell you who not to use. The Actors Credit Union were awesome. And,
they always are.
You know, they're small. It's a credit union. So they're not Bank of America. There's only like two people that work there in the lending department. So they were very patient and very sweet. But you're right. I mean, there is something about expectations and just, you know, and we always know that. I think it's kind of interesting. You run this balance as a performer and all these years of doing what we do. You learn how to balance your expectations and reality, but it also like, you also kind of always have this bit of a cynical, you don't trust anything until it actually happens, right? It's like, how many shows have I done where it's like, it's going to transfer to Broadway and then it never does, right? It's like, so you just learn like, yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. When I'm standing on stage, right, on a Broadway stage, and the audience is applauding is when I'll be like, okay, we made it to Broadway.
Well, I think there's that part. So it's like this duality, right? It's like there's that understanding of like, you know, maybe things aren't going to happen until they happen and all of that. But then there's also this part, at least for myself, is that sometimes I'm so optimistic, right? And obviously positive and want things to happen that I'm like, well, everything, you know, because that's why I was, well, everything's going to happen, everything's going to work out. And so that then when there are these small kinks, sometimes like I'm like, whoa, like it kind of throws me, you know. And so like getting through those things, thank God we have each other. And then there are times where I think we probably are like, you know, freaking out.
We definitely... I will say this, and I'll say this on record here.
Oh, no.
I know that I've not been the nicest, and I apologize. I'm not managing my stress that well. And I think part of it is just a time.
Yeah.
I mean, on top of all of this, I'm also trying to launch a course that I'm teaching in May, and like I'm teaching, starting the webinar next week. It's like next week already, and I'm so behind because of all of this. And it just overwhelms me because, you know, I feel like sometimes running my own business, I feel like no one around me understands that, like, if I don't show up,
it doesn't happen.
The business doesn't run.
Right.
And if I'm not doing shit, then nothing's getting done. It's not like somebody else is picking up the pieces or teaching another class or doing something else. Like, right. No. If I'm not there, it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And the last few weeks, I've not been there because of all of the chaos. So I just feel totally overwhelmed. And
well, the good news is...
And so I apologize.
Well, thank you. And I love you.
I'm giving lots of excuses, but I apologize.
Thank you.
And I think that learning how to manage my stress it's something I need to work on during the last couple of weeks. I mean... I do think these were extraordinary circumstances,
yeah.
But
well, now that we're in here,
I think I feel better. Don't you?
Yeah, I mean, well,
it seemed better because I have an office.
Because he has an office. Well, it's our office, but I don't know how much work I'll actually be doing in here except just kind of annoying Brett and trying to get his attention. But
recording podcasts.
And but it's so nice in here, and it's very, you know, it's all set up. So now when we're done for the day, now you can go and do all of your work.
So maybe that's what we're going to title this, is managing expectations.
Managing expectations. I feel like it's, you know, it's interesting too, right? Especially after living through this pandemic, right? Like, how do I expect anything sometimes? Yeah. Like, why do I even expect?
It's like when people keep saying, like, well, are you coming back to Broadway? It's like, I don't know. I can't. There is no Broadway right now, so I can't. I'm not going to set any expectations around that until it happens,
right?
Because I got to live my life.
Yeah,
that has to be priority number one. Is just, how do I make my life livable in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
And that being said, I think for Spotlight on Love today, I'm going to ask you to help me.
What?
I need advice.
No, what's your question? Okay. Don't do this to me.
Why?
Okay, tell me.
Okay, so a little story.
No.
Talking about managing expectations. I was all excited about buying this house because it feels like such a fresh new start. It feels like, you know, we're kind of in this pioneer, right? We're like, we own land and we have a house and we can run our business out of it and, you know, start a family and blah, blah, blah. So I've had all this like fresh start ideas in my head.
Okay.
And then I find out that my childhood buddy who lived down the street, his name was Justin Britton. He was like 2 or 3 years younger than me, but definitely, like, you know, we were the little gay boys in the neighborhood growing up, and we became close because we both got made fun of in school. So we would just like hang out together after school and just be whatever we wanted to be. We would decorate each other's houses for Christmas and Easter. And God, I can't imagine what our parents thought of us. And he was very eccentric. When we were young, he was battling leukemia. And so I remember he had to wear hats a lot. He didn't have any hair and from the chemo. And anyway, come to find out, on Facebook last week when we posted that we were moving, he was like, where are you moving to? And I said, you know, Imperial Oaks or whatever. And he's like, oh, my parents and my sister live in that neighborhood. Turns out his parents live literally like two streets over. And it, like, the emotional, like, I just kind of went into this weird, I don't know. It's like there's this ego part of me that has always been attached to the idea of not living in Texas, because it's going to sound so gross, but it was like, as a kid, I was like, I am special. Like, I want to be better than that. I want to be in New York City and I want to be big and I want to, and then like there has always been this little part of like moving back to Texas where I was like, oh, like getting a house in Texas means I've given up on that or something, which is BS. I know that because like I've had a really good career and it's not over, but there's still that little ego part. And yet having these neighbors nearby feels super, like, I liked the idea that we were going to have all this space and no one's going to know us and like we're going to be like special. And now I'm like, well, no, actually, I've just now completely gone full circle. I now live down the street from the Britons.
So what's your question?
How do I manage my expectations around this? Because how do I look at this differently? Because I feel like I'm kind of disappointed in that. Like, it feels like it took the kind of shininess and newness of living over here away in a way. And I don't know if there's a different way to look at it.
Well, I mean, I think there I think them, and I met them, you know, we went over to their house and they're so sweet and so nice. And I think there's something actually really nice that we know that, you know, somebody and have history with somebody that, you know, I think the good thing about it is that they live really close and we actually know them, right? So there's like a level of trust there. And so there's somebody that we can really reach out to if we need help. And, but as far as the, like, I mean, they have nothing to do with it. You know, they have nothing to do with us getting a house here or anywhere. Like, they would still exist. You know what I mean? If, even if we had a house or another apartment in New York City, it would still be like a similar thing. Like, right? Like, they're just closer to us. And they're nice people who are very giving. And I think as long as, you know, as long as we're, you know, I think it's nice to just have people that we know. I honestly don't, I mean, but the ego thing, I understand. But I guess it's easier for me to say because they're not people that I have history with. Yeah.
But how would you have felt if we'd, let's say, moved to Pittsburgh?
Right.
And you were all excited to get like a new place, and then you found out like two streets over,
right?
Was
totally.
I don't know, Roxanne or no? Yeah, you but love I like Roxanne. Roxanne. I mean, not that I don't like these.
No, but
I just don't know them.
It just
well.
Brings up old memories, or
well, you have to understand. Well, the truth like is that time too. I mean, that was like the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, but you got to understand. So, Brett, you're not the same person.
I know.
This is not the same time period.
But there's a lot of old emotions that are attached. They're just going to have to be shed. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
And you also just need to create new experiences. Right. And you already have done that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We saw them the other night. They were lovely.
That's great. Yeah. Just create new
experiences. Just create new experiences. It's like when you get sober. You have to go through life. In the first year, you usually hit all those benchmarks of like, oh my God, this is my first birthday Christmas. Sober. Yeah. This is my first New Year's sober where I'm not drinking. You know, you just kind of go through all those benchmarks. But
that's
just
really,
creating new experiences.
That's really helpful.
Is that helpful?
That's great. All Thank right. you.
And also, again, not to have expectations. Right now, your expectations are giving you negative or emotion-filled feelings, right? But if that's your expectation to be the same Brett that you were in 1990, like then your expectations are going to be not met or met. You know what I mean? So if you actually make that up in your head, then you're going to kind of feel that way. But if you actually recognize the truth of the reality that it's 2021, and that you're not 10 years old anymore. Yeah. Even though you look really good, not 10, but so yeah.
That's really helpful.
I hope so.
Well, this was hopefully an insightful episode for all of you. we hope that you learn a little something about managing expectations and not being afraid to just stay in the moment and commit to the moment, because that's what we're doing. There's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, sometimes we get afraid we're going to get stuck in a situation that doesn't exist. Yeah. And right now we're really happy that we continue to move forward with this process. We had nothing to lose.
No. It also feels like, I know this is really weird, but I always just imagined us sitting in places where it's really bright. And this whole house is really bright. Even yeah. in this room yeah. is, I would say, one of the darker rooms, and it's really bright.
We're going to be making a lot more dance reels in this house. There's so much more space.
So yeah, it's all really good.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the Broadway Husbands podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. And while you're at it, leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on.
Don't forget to check out Broadway Life Apparel and our new designs that are released every month. Thanks to our Patreon patrons. Don't forget to join our family by going to patreon.com/Broadway Husbands.
And a big shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. Go to bpn.fm/husbands to check out the wide array of Broadway themed podcasts for your listening pleasure. And on this podcast, we encourage you to love who you love
and love what you do.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.